Welcome to lecture 6, and now we will be concerned with advanced counting techniques. So we continue with the subject we had in previous lecture, but now comes new stuff. We start in this part one, we solve recurrence relations. Previously in lecture 4, I think it was, we spoke about recursive definitions of functions. Think of the Fibonacci numbers. And here we are looking for some kind of, we are looking for a formula for this an step. Often they are integers, these ans in the sequence, but I will also consider real numbers here to get some interesting examples. First here I give you five examples of such recurrence relations, first two pages, and then we go on and solve them, the technique for solving. Okay, example one, interest rate. Say you have a 3% interest, you put in 100 crowns in a bank. Next year you have 103 times the previous year, so it 103 times 100, second year 103 squared times 100, and so on. And we get immediately the formula for an. So it's an exponential growth, and you have to wait on around 22 years. Until the amount of money is doubled. So that was not hard to solve, such a simple recurrence relation. We could say with a short memory, we say that this is a problem of degree one or order one. It depends only on the previous step. Next number depends only on the previous number. Another example comes there, example two from gambling. Think of you have N crowns, Swedish crowns, somewhere between 0 and 10, and you play some game with your opponent that has say 10 minus n crowns. So if you have 8, she has 2. It's not in every step you play about 1 crown, and it's here it's an unfair game. So it's there is a risk that you will lose 1 crown in that two cases out of 3 you will lose a crown, and it's in one of three you will win a crown. And probability, you know, that's a number between 0 and 1 that tells us the risk or chance for something to happen, and we are interested here in the ruin risk, RN I call it there, the probability you get ruined starting with N crowns. Say you have 8. Do you dare to play with this opponent this unfair game? Should you do it? Well, maybe you're not so familiar with probability, but and then you can just take this as an example of our recurrence relation. But I put up the recurrence relation RR, I denote it. So to get ruined with say 8 crowns, then you can do it in two ways. You can win a crown and then get ruined with 9, or you can lose the first crown and then get ruined, and from that we get this recurrence relation. 1/3 times the probability you get ruined with n plus 1 crowns, and so on. Here we have boundary values instead of initial values, because we know the what happens at the end points. If you have 0 crowns, you are already ruined, so R0 is 1. And if you have 10 crowns, there's 0 possibility to be ruined. It's your opponent that is ruined. Okay, and we can rewrite this recurrence relation up there, and it's on top of page 2. And now you see it's a little bit longer memory. It's next step depends on the two previous ones. So we continue with this mathematical modeling and go over to these Fibonacci numbers. We spoke about them in lecture 4. Fibonacci is also called Leonardo from Pisa, the first European mathematician, I think one could say, 13th century, when Europe takes over from the Arabic tradition. Okay, and this can model, describe how rabbits on an island grow. You have some young pair that at month one that arrives to the island, and they are young for 2 months, then they start to reproduce. So after 3 months they are old, they are parents to one pair of children. They get a pair all the time. And they never die, and they continue to get one new pair every month. And then it continues like this. And then we understand that this recurrence relation is then Fn is equal to the sum of the previous ones. The newborns 1 month are produced by the rabbit pairs that were there 2 months ago. They give rise to newborns, and the ones that were there previous month, they are still there. So we can understand this recurrence relation from such reasoning. Example 4 is from the book. I don't say so much about this. This is this game Towers of Hanoi. You are moving discs from peg 1 to peg 2. And the rule is that no disc is allowed to lie on top of a smaller disc. And you could think of that the recurrence relation will be like this, that the n minus 1 ones are moved from peg 1 to peg 3. Then we take one move that moves the large disk to peg 2, and then we move every disk from peg 3 over to peg 2, and then we can benefit from this peg 1 that is now possible to use. So the recurrence relation there gets hn equal 2 hn minus 1 plus 1. And here we have got something is called an inhomogeneous term. This 1 there to the right, it stands for this large disk that is moving from peg 1 to peg 2. And finally, an example of a so-called non-linear recurrence relation. And this is one of my favorites, and I think this should be introduced in school, even at high school, to see sense, that what is called chaos sensitivity of initial conditions. Here we are have some measure of a population, and we can think of it as a number between 0 and 1. And the first term there, xn, that tells us that we have some kind of exponential growth. You could think of rabbits on an island again. But the other one is with minus sign and square, and that models, say, shortage of food. It cannot be infinitely many rabbits. And there's a lot of interesting things that we have not time here to mention in this course. I have on the webpage, I have written about this so-called logistic equation. For instance, to understand such a system, we're interested in the so-called fixed points. If you put in a number on right-hand side, when comes out the same number in the left-hand side. A is a parameter here, by the way, and if I use 5/2, for instance, one can see that 3/2, x equals 3/2, then is a fixed point. Put in 3/2, out comes 3/2. What happens if I turn this A, parameter A, say increase it? Then we will see that this fixed point lose its stability. And yeah, it's fascinating things. But this is not for this course. Okay, let's turn page to page 3. And now we have to be do the technicalities here for a couple of pages. We have to learn how to solve these problems. And solve, that means that we get an explicit formula for these ans. So we say here on top of page 3, an is a function of k previous ones. And it's linear, so it's constant coefficients, there c1, c2, up to ck. And first of all, we say that we have a, if the function is of this type, we say we have a linear homogeneous recurrence relation of degree k with constant coefficients. And if we go back to our examples, were they linear, were they homogeneous, and what about the degree? And I have listed them there in the table, and the only one that was non-homogeneous was this Hanoi problem due to this 1 in the right hand side. We had 1 non-linear also, and so on. So what we will do here now, we will do degree 1 and degree 2 linear all the time, and we will do homogeneous and non-homogeneous. So I stick to degree 1 and 2. So here comes now 4 examples how to solve them, and I will mention how to do it, and then come some remarks later on and some more examples. So on bottom of page 3, we have already seen this first case, linear, degree 1, constant coefficients, and homogeneous. And that was the interest rate case, example 1. And that's not much to say. If we have such a constant there, that we will get this exponential behavior. The constant to the power of n, then, times the initial value, a naught here. Second example, here I introduce a non-homogeneous recurrence relation. We start with 1, A1 is 1. In next step, we are equal to the previous ones plus n. And these are the so-called triangle numbers. And we had them, we have talked about them before, summing up, for instance, or 1, 2, 3, 4, up to 100, and so up to some n. Can we get a formula for this? And we have already this formula, but now we will do it in a new way. First, we solve the homogeneous problem. That means I don't consider the n there to the right. And since the coefficient is 1, this must be a constant times 1 to the power of n. That means this constant C. And what I add is also a particular solution, Pn, a particular solution to this particular right-hand side, this n. So C here is the homogeneous solution and Pn is the particular solution. Yes, and then we turn page to page 4. And let's now try with Pn, since the right-hand side I was a linear n, let's try with a constant times n plus b naught, another constant. But you see that when you plug it into the recurrence relation, it doesn't work. You get out something crazy. B1 must be equal to n. But remember, this should be a constant, not depending on n. So we draw the conclusion that this cannot be the right solution. We have done something wrong in the ansatz. And the mistake we did was that B naught is in fact a solution to the homogeneous problem. Flat constant. That's solution to that problem. And the right thing to do then is to multiply this previous ansatz with n. So we will get n squared something plus a linear term. If we plug this into the recurrence relation, and we then have to look at the coefficients, you can check yourself there that then we get out that these two coefficients, b1 and b0, are equal and equal to 1/2. And then we can put all pieces together. And remember now the homogeneous solution also, C. And now it's time to use this initial value, 1. So that determines C. C must in fact be equal to 0, comes out. And we get the familiar function for summing up these triangle numbers. It's like a triangle, you know. I had it on the previous page. The lower part of a square plus the diagonal. You sum these unit cells. Mm-hmm. Third case, now I go over to degree 2 and we take the homogeneous case first, and we take this ruin problem. What to do then? Yeah, we are inspired by what we have seen now in for first order, so we assume that this r n plus 1 is a constant times something exponential. So what to be determined here is C and R. We plug it into the recurrence relation, and this must hold for all n, if it's true. And C and R are different from zero, so we can divide away a lot of things, and we end up with something that is called the characteristic equation. A second order polynomial equation. And these ones we can solve, and it turns out that in this case the roots are 2 and 1. And what to do when we have two roots? Well, you know, this is a linear problem, so that means if I have found two solutions, I can take a linear combination of these two and it's still a solution. So let's do that. So I introduce some coefficients, B1 and B0 there on bottom of page 4. And now I had my boundary values, you know. I was ruined to the right and my opponent was ruined. Sorry, to the left I'm ruined, R0 is 1, and my opponent is ruined to the right. R10 is equal to 0. And now I determine the coefficients. And that will be on next page. And there is a little bit algebra you should work out yourself. And let's see what comes out of it. That's the top of page 5. Top of page 5, I get out a formula for the ruin risk. And if we put in 8 there, for instance, we get a quite a large risk that we get ruined going in this game with 8 crowns. Yeah. And now comes something more elaborate here. Fourth example, and this is the most difficult case we will look at. We will not go to higher degrees. Here is an example from a book. It's degree 2 and it's inhomogeneous. And we have two inhomogeneous terms there, 2 to the power of n and a linear term, n plus 3. Okay, we do it in two steps. We solve the characteristic equation for the homogeneous part. Now I do it a little bit more quickly. Could you think of that yourself, that the polynomial equation must be r squared equal to 4r minus 3. Two roots there, 3 and 1. So the homogeneous solution is some constant times 3 to the power of n plus a constant b0. And then we do particular solution for the exponential term, 2n. We do the ansatz, a constant times 2 to the power of n, plug it into the recurrence relation, and out comes that this constant in front must be minus 4. But here comes then this nasty case again with that we've seen before, that for the particular solution for the linear part is in fact as something n squared plus n. So the correct ansatz is a little bit more complicated. And the reason is that we were unlucky here because constant is this 3 is a solution to the homogeneous problem. That's the case. So that's why we have to be a little bit more careful. On last page here, page 8, I have summarized these things. it's a tricky business indeed. Well, this is the right ansatz, and then we plug it in two constants to be determined, D1 and D0. And we have to identify terms by terms. Can you you must check this yourself, that D1 turns out to be -1/4 and D0 is equal to -5/2. That's the only possibility. And finally, I can put up on top of page 6, I can put up my final solution, homogeneous term and the particular solution. And now it's time to determine the coefficients b1 and b0. And we do it as usual for the initial values, or if in the ruin case we had boundary values, but usually we have initial values. And we can determine b1 and b0 with after a little algebra, and we get the final solution there. Okay, I should say two things more here, two remarks on the following pages. What if we take the homogeneous case characteristic equation degree 2, what happens if we get a double root, and what happens if we get complex roots? It's not much mentioned in the book about complex roots, but I have some example here. First, the double root case. I try to explain for you here really what happens when with the second root if we have a double root. Remember, we have two roots R1 and R2, and we can then take linear combinations. R1 is a solution, but also R2 to the power of n minus R1 to the power of n divided by epsilon is a solution. And what's epsilon here? Well, I take the ratio R2 divided by R1 is 1 plus epsilon. And then I think of that R1 and R2 are approaching each other to a common R, the double root. And the first solution there, R1, that's not problematic at all. It goes to R to the power of n. But here you see my smart trick to rewrite. We can understand what happens with the second solution, because using this epsilon notation here, and moreover the binomial theorem, you see that a lot of things will cancel when epsilon goes to zero. So the term that survives is n times r to the power of n. So that was really an explanation why the second term, second solution here, is n times r n. Let's take an example of this. The ruin case once more, but now for a fair game, 50% chance to win a crown and 50% chance to lose a crown. So the recurrence relation you have there, Rn, is in fact then the average value of the one to the left and to the right. That's the recurrence relation in this case. And if you think about it, then you understand that the only solutions there that must be straight lines. They can be horizontal, or they can be going up or going down. Straight lines has this probability that value at one point is the average of the two to the left and to the right. And we see that the characteristic equation has a double root. Check it. And it's 1 in this case. So, but now we know what to do. We know the second solution. It's n times this r to the power n. And it was simple here. It was just 1. So it becomes a straight line. And that we could say from the beginning, really. And if we take our ruin case, we get out that r capital R of n is a straight line with slope minus 1/10. And now the ruin risk, if we have 8 crowns, is down to 20%. Okay, and next example, page 7, and this is something about what happens when we have complex roots. An plus 2 is 2 times the difference between the two previous ones. That's the new recurrence relation. And if you put out, calculate some values there, you see that we will see that it oscillates. We get minus, and then we get plus, and the oscillation becomes larger and larger. And oscillations, that's really signals that there are some cosine or sine involved here. We do the same ansatz as we did for Fibonacci numbers and all other cases here. And we have not looked at the Fibonacci numbers, but we had another case we solved. It was the ruin problem, yes. And we see here that now we get complex roots, 1 plus minus I. And as I write there, no panic, we will come back to the real world, but we have to be a little bit patient. We work on as we are used to, and then you have to be familiar with this polar form of complex numbers, and determine the coefficients, and C1 and C2, and there we are standing with this complex expression. But then there is a way back to reality with help of Euler's formula. It turns out there that can be expressed with a cosine in this case, times an amplitude there that is growing with n. And I'm checking there a couple of points and see that it gives the right answers in these cases at least. But this is, it turns out to be the exact solution to this problem. And I have tried to summarize this tricky business with the right ansatz for non-homogeneous problems, and I have some a table there. To the left we have the terms in the right hand side, the non-homogeneous terms. What kind of ansatz should we do? Well, that's in the right column, but and there are 3 cases involved here, and 1 and 2 I think are unproblematic, but we have seen in our examples here that we have to be careful if we have a term that is a solution to a homogeneous equation. Then we have to multiply the corresponding ansatz with the power of n. And we should take it as small as possible, and in our case we had only s there equal to 1, so it was just we multiplied with n, and then we got the right ansatz. And one should add one thing more. If you go on now later on in your studies and go study some differential equations, you will see that very much the topics is very much the same. It's the same story, but in the continuous case. Here you could think of n as a discrete time. You know, calculus was invented to understand the planets and the moons in the 17th century by Newton and Leibniz, long before computers came into work. But on computers, how to treat differential equations? Well, we have to discretize in some way. So then you get back to discrete mathematics. And the discrete ones are equally interesting and are very like the logistic equation I mentioned. You can very early in your mathematical studies learn what a complex behavior is about. So in next lecture, we continue with more advanced counting techniques. Bye.